Well, good Friday to you all. Welcome. Glad you could join us. What is up, beautiful people? Spencer Johnson says, love that. Hey, Oink, good to have you with us and the rest of you. So today's Friday. It's a Freeform Friday. If you're new or around here, we break from our normal series, which right now is the overview of New Covenant Theology. And it's Freeform Friday, so I talk about whatever I want to. So today, hey, Curtis, good to have you with us. Good afternoon. Is it afternoon for you already? No, it's only 11:30 a.m., right? It must be lunchtime. Anyway, so I went to my first Republican caucus last night. Have you ever been? Anybody? I'm curious to know if this is something that a lot of people participate in. I'm guessing it's not, because as I have mentioned it to others in preparation, for most people I talked to, they didn't have a clue how this works. Sunday Life has been. All right, very good. So before I describe what it was like and make the point, I hope to encourage you to give it some thought. I want to give you my starting place, okay? So Isaiah 9, this is normally thought of as a Christmas passage because of Handel, but let's not forget this is not about some cute Christmas story. Isaiah 9:6, for a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us, he shoulders responsibility, and is called Wonderful Advisor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, I've gone through this text in other series. In fact, when we started this live stream, I think at Christmas time, I did a whole series on this section, or at least on some of the Isaiah prophecies. But I'm not going to go, I'm just going to go quickly. But Wonderful Advisor, or maybe you're familiar with the Wonderful Counselor. I like advisor better, because when we think counsel, we think therapy, right? You need to go see a shrink, a psychologist. The Bible knows nothing of that. That's a modern invention, thanks to Sigmund Freud. Counsel in the scripture is usually military strategy counsel. And that's why I like the advisor here, because that's what you think of. You think of a cabinet around a government leader and his advisors. That is the terminology. That's the impression here of who this son is going to be. Mighty God, mighty, strong, powerful, everlasting Father, another leader, if not governmental, at least filial leader, and then Prince of Peace. And continuing that government language, his dominion will be vast. He will bring immeasurable prosperity. And he has. He will rule on David's throne and over David's kingdom, establishing it and strengthening it by, and here's what I'm focusing on here, by promoting justice and fairness from this time forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of heaven's armies will accomplish this. All right, so let me ask you, has the child been born? Has the son been given? The answer, of course, is yes. So he is seated on David's throne right now. He is ruling over David's kingdom. He's establishing the kingdom. He is strengthening the kingdom. He is promoting justice, promoting fairness, and bringing prosperity and all of that. How does he do that? Well, I'm convinced one of the ways he does that is through the under rulers, if you will, right? He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. That means there are other kings and other lords, and he is in charge of all of them. And as he works through the government structures, he's bringing justice and fairness and prosperity and so on. That's my starting place, okay? So you may disagree with this, whatever, fine. I'm not going to argue with it today. I'm just telling you, I'm not here today to debate biblical theology. I'm here to encourage you to get involved, but I want to at least let you know where I'm coming from, why I went to the Republican caucus last night. All right, so that's my starting frame. And if you've been around a while, you know I have told you that our home fellowship have been talking about these things and how can we make an impact locally. We have the opportunity in November to have impact nationally by voting for president and different congressmen. Then we can also vote for, you know, governor and state legislatures. And along the way, there's votes for mayor, that kind of thing. So voting is a very important way. We should all do it because we have the opportunity to participate in who rules us. So let me say that again. Just let that sink in. Here in the West, and I'm assuming most, if not all of you, are in a place where your vote matters. Now, you may say, no, it doesn't. The election's been stolen and it's rigged and all that. Well, that all may be true, but we allowed it to get there over the years by our voting and how we voted and those kind of things. And there, we can take this back. We can make a difference. And I'm convinced more than ever after last night. So voting matters. But as we as a fellowship have been thinking this through and been talking about, okay, can we get more involved? Some of our folks have taken that admonition seriously. And one couple has been significantly involved in the Republican Party here in Colorado Springs. Now, let me caveat this. I am now a registered Republican. I am not a Republican by conviction from this standpoint. I'm not a diehard Republican. I'm not convinced that all Republicans are wonderful and righteous. And the Republican platform is all that. I think there's plenty of Republicans that I am appalled at and plenty of decisions made by Republicans that I'm appalled at. I'm a Republican because I am against the Democrat Party, I should say, because I believe their platform is evil. And I mean that very specifically. Their platform, if you read what they endorse, if you listened to the speech last night, which I didn't, obviously I was at the caucus, but I've seen enough of the clips and we all knew what to expect. The Roe v. Wade stuff, the transgender stuff, I mean, right down the line, what they endorse, what they stand for, what they get most animated about is directly opposed to righteousness as the Lord Jesus sees it. And his opinion is what matters. He's the standard of righteousness. So I don't think there's any way to defeat the evil of the Democrat platform as an independent. I think we have to do it as Republican. Now, you may disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm just sharing with you where I'm at, and if I can persuade anybody to try to make a difference, then that's what I want to do. And we'll talk more about the presidential election down the road. I know that's a inflammatory discussion, even among like-minded people and Christians in some ways. You know, do you vote? Well, I'm just gonna say that for another time. But so back to this. So this couple got involved with the Republican Party and have been keeping us abreast. And they said one of the ways we can have make a difference is to go to caucus. I think I mentioned to you many weeks ago that I also joined this task force that is dealing with election integrity and some of those things. And that's been enlightening. And there's some good stuff happening there. But he said, you know, this is something easy. Go to the caucus meeting. Well, I'd heard that name, that word caucus, but I didn't really have a clue what it was. And Caitlin says we can't vote our way out of tyranny. Too many rhinos. Maybe I would have probably agreed with you before last night. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being a little Pollyanna here, but maybe not. So I appreciate your comment, but here's what I saw last night. So we show up, and it was my wife and I and my son and my daughter. And by the way, several from our fellowship went to their caucuses. We just happened to be in different precincts, so we went to different ones. And I've heard those words, precincts, caucus. I didn't know what they were. And so it was at a local school, and we showed up. And there's one, two, there's four, five people. Many of them are from our neighborhood, we found out. Some folks that we had not met. Caitlin says all politics are local. The federal government is a lost cause. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. But you are welcome to disagree with me on that. Anyway, so we're there. So I have four people in my family, counting me, and there's five others. Okay, so that's all that showed up from our precinct. And apparently, each precinct represents 2,000 people. And then in the same room were three people from a different precinct. And apparently, there were many precincts, many caucuses meeting throughout this school building, and most of them don't, a lot of them had zero people show up, which is interesting. All right, so we voted delegates to go to the meeting in a couple of weeks where we will actually cast votes for who is on the ballot for the Republican Party in Colorado. I was elected as a delegate. My wife was elected as a delegate. And we are going to go in a couple of weeks and vote on who gets to be on the ballot. I had no idea it was that's how the process worked. We got five delegates, and actually, I'm trying to remember now why. I think my son and my daughter both have plans already, and we're admittedly just kind of getting our feet wet, so we didn't just dive in everybody everything. But we're gonna do that, and then I found out I talked to some of the other people from our fellowship when I got home last night, and there's another gentleman who's an alternate, another couple who are delegates, and a guy whose parents who live in town here are also delegates. And as I was thinking that through, I have no idea how many people are going to be at that meeting and what percentage of them, you know, our group will be. But here's, let me just back up and give the broader principle here, and I'm still learning. I may come back from that meeting and say, Caitlin's right. Well, no, she's saying federal. I may come back very pessimistic, but right now I'm pretty optimistic because here's what I think is true, and we'll see if this plays out. We had of the nine people in our from our precinct there last night, four of them were my family. If my my oldest daughter, who just went overseas, as I told you, if she had been here and her husband, then that would have taken us to 11, and seven of us would have been from my family. So we could have controlled the vote entirely. Now, it turns out there was no dispute about anything, but we could have controlled the vote entirely, and five of the seven of us could have been delegates. The five delegates we get could have been all from my family. Think about that. Now imagine our whole fellowship. I'm trying to think how many adults, you know, let's say there are 30 adults, and they all went and had a loud voice in their precinct, in their caucus. And we come together and decide who's going to be on the ballot. So, Colorado Springs area, let's just say that all the churches. People in the churches who care about the rule of Christ and the rule of righteousness and are pro-life and those kind of things. If they all got involved and overwhelmed, if we flooded the caucuses, there was nobody there. Nobody there. All these precincts that were meeting in the other rooms. If Christians had showed up from our towns, our areas, to those precincts, we could have owned many, many of these caucuses. And we get to decide who's on the ballot. One of the guys who's running for, I think it's Senate. He's been a state legislator here, and now he's running for the U.S. Senate. I think it's Senate. Anyway, I'm going to find this out before for that meeting. He showed up, And he rattled off where he stands. And then another woman who's there said, I know him personally, and he means every word of it. Well, he only talked to us for about 2 minutes. And I would love to have had more. I would love to have had some discussion with him. But everything he said in those 2 minutes was right on. And apparently I'm going to investigate and find out. He's got a voting record here as a state legislator. And I can find out, has he truly voted the way he said he did? If so, our fellowship could have a pretty significant impact on whether or not he makes it on the ballot. And then if we get enough people out and vote for him, he could be one of our senators, which would be tremendous. I mean, this is all based on just what I heard last night. I'll say to you, and maybe Caitlin and I are not so far apart in this way. As he was talking, I thought, yeah, he even had a clever line. I forget what it was now. I'm not just going to go along to get along. That's what he said. I'm not just going to go along to get along. I thought, oh man, he's got his talking points. He sounds like a typical politician. Now I did like how he was dressed. He's kind of dressed. He had a jacket on, a nice, you know, sport coat kind of jacket, but he was pretty casual. He had jeans on. He didn't look like a politician necessarily, but he talked like one. I thought, oh great. And then this other lady said, no, he means it. Here's the evidence she gave. And I thought, all right, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. Now imagine if the Christians here in Colorado Springs, if we overwhelmed the caucuses in number and we had people who care about the right things deciding who's on the ballot. That is a lot of influence that's just waiting there to be had. Would you consider it? I think you should. Curtis says, although I'm not post-millennial, I do love the fervor they hold in being good stewards over creation. We should care. Spencer Johnson, being Republican includes the burden of purifying what's within, not just resisting what's outside. And that's what I'm saying. I think we have the potential to do that. I think it's there. The influence is there. Caitlin says, last legislative session, the House leader who has a strong record of voting for liberty blocked the personhood amendment with a Republican majority, Republican governor. Are you talking about Speaker Johnson? Why almost nothing changes when Republicans are in charge, Dr. Baldwin's recent column. Yeah, and I think the rhinos are winning the day because people are not showing up. People like you, Caitlin, and me. It's easy, and this is not an attack on you. I'm attacking myself here too. It's easy for me to complain about this, but I've never done anything about it except vote. And I'm saying the potential to do something influential is there. Another thing I observed, I can't help but wonder if we are afraid to speak in public when it comes to articulating our views. Here's why I wonder this. So we show up there last night, and one of the things we got to do is put forward resolutions that will get handed to a committee that will assimilate all the resolutions and, you know, reword them and stuff, and then present them to the larger body of Republicans, and they will be voted on as to whether or not they become part of the party platform. So I jotted down, I think it was three resolutions, and they asked me to read them. And the first one was eliminate the Department of Education and move education to the states. And as soon as I read that, everyone else in the room, they almost cheered. They hearty amens. One guy even came and gave me a high five. No, it was after I read all three of them. He did. So just, it was the sense I got. Now I can't read their minds. I could be completely wrong, but the way it appeared to me, the sense I got with the immediate enthusiasm, again, there's only eight other people in the room, was, yes, somebody said it out loud. Like they were shocked to hear these things spoken out loud. The second one was to eliminate lobbyists. We got a good chuckle out of that because I later clarified that I don't mean the lobbyists themselves, but lobbying. And actually, one of the gals who was there, who's kind of leading this, was she does lobbying for conservatism. And she and I debated back and forth about whether it's a good thing. And what was wonderful was it was a respectful disagreement. And she helped me see some things. In fact, she invited me to come with her when she goes and to see how it's done, thinking that would persuade me that lobbying has its place. And I said, you know, I'll give that consideration. At this point, I didn't back down. I said, I still, in principle, I think there are better ways to influence our elected officials without lobbying. But anyway, it was a hearty discussion, but it was done in the right spirit. She didn't attack me. I didn't attack her. I believe we both respected each other, but you know, we laid out our points. The third one was to, you know, demand single item voting for all the budget stuff, which we've been told is going to happen. Speaker Johnson, it sure seems like he said that and ran on that kind of platform, and we just passed this mini bus last week, and so, I don't know, we got to do that. Anyway, again, the emphatic, excited, enthusiastic response of the few people in that room, and that's when the guy came over and gave me a high five and said, we got to get this guy talking more, and yada, yada. Again, could be completely wrong, but what it seemed like to me was, because these are not new ideas, right? I didn't just come up with these. These have been spoken before. But they seemed surprised and encouraged that somebody would say them out loud. And that caused me to think, are we afraid? As this candidate came in, and someone else was, and he said he was pro-life and all this. And the other people in the room got behind that. I don't know. Maybe it's just a sense, but it just seemed like by and large, they're afraid to say these things. And my question to you and to me is, are we afraid in your workplace, in your neighborhood? How about in your church? Are you afraid to say out loud these things? Why? Well, I think it's because the left, their favorite tool is to beat down anyone who disagrees with them and humiliate and mock and shame. And right now they have the cultural upper hand because those on the right back off. And the left has the power of the sword in so many areas right now, right? The prosecutions and all that. And they've owned social media. And it spills all the way down, and you and me, you're hanging out with your neighbors, you're just having a barbecue outside and talking, and or family, right? We don't talk about religion, we don't talk about politics. How about we lead the way? I see Spencer here says, wow, political disagreement that didn't end in personal attacks. Exactly. How about we lead the way in that? How about you and I be willing to engage with others in our church, in our neighborhood, in our family, in our workplace, and show them that we can have a discussion where we are not on the same side of these things and not make it personal. And we have to lead in that. We have to not call them names. We have to not assume the worst of them. I'm convinced more and more people of all perspectives are not good thinkers and are just repeating what someone else has told them. And one of the reasons that we take things personally is because we don't really know our position ourselves. We say something and now it's out there and now we feel like we have to defend it, defend ourselves, instead of just having a conversation and say, well, help me understand more of where you're coming from on that. Kind of like I did with this lady in the lobby. Okay, what? Why? Why is lobbying a good thing? What are you actually accomplishing? And at one point, someone else threw in, yeah, and the corporations pay all these people. And I said to her, are you getting paid? She said, sometimes. I said, okay, so you know, you can see from my perspective, that sounds bad. And she goes, oh yeah. I said, so, you know, help me understand why it's not a bad thing. How is it that, you know, you're getting supported and yet it's not the same thing that I'm afraid of. And she totally understood where I was coming from. And she said, really, you'd have to come see it for yourself. And I might do that sometime. I don't know. We'll see. But the point is, we just kept the issue and didn't take it personally and gave each other the benefit of the doubt. And that was great. We need to lead the charge in this as Christians to say we're not afraid to speak what we think is true, but we want to hear you out because we're not against you as an individual. Let's get to truth. The last thing I want to mention is just the question, where are the men? The women were definitely the leaders. There were two women who took charge of this, and it was obvious as it went on, they are, for our little precinct, they're the ones doing the lion's share of the work. There was a guy there who was helping out, but he wasn't asserting himself as a leadership. And then as the other precinct leaders came in and stuck their head in and said they were leaving and such and announcing, you know, nobody showed up, majority of them were women. And as I saw a few people meander in and out, most of them were women. Where are we, men? Why are we not stepping up to this? Well, that's a bigger question. Maybe I'm just saying, gentlemen, and this is not to exclude women. It's both and. But I see women doing this. I'm saying, men, get involved. Find out when your caucus is meeting. Go. It may not be even too late. I don't know, you know, the timing of all this, where you are. But it maybe it's not too late to become an alternate for the meetings coming up. And I don't know, dig into it a little bit. As I understand it at this point, I spent a couple hours last night. I will spend all day in a couple weeks on a Saturday. And as far as I know, that's all of the commitment I've made and all of the involvement that I need to have right now. And I can be a voice in determining who is on the ballot to be voted on in November. That's time well spent, it seems to me. And it is easy for us to complain and gripe and watch our nation fall into disarray and get on social media and talk in a safe place about it and do nothing that actually has consequence. You know, your statements on social media don't have consequence. You're not changing anybody's mind. You're not changing anybody's vote on social media. But something like this is actually has potential impact. And again, I'm thinking now, I can't shake it. I know enough Christians here in Colorado Springs that it wouldn't take very many churches if all of their people showed up to their precincts, to their caucuses. Well, this presupposes there are enough Christians that hold enough of the right views. And I don't want to be cynical there either, but the impact we can have is pretty huge. And I want to urge you to give some consideration. Yeah, it takes time. And I'll tell you, this thing was so poorly run. We got there they seem surprised to see us. It seems like these four people that were already there are the four people that are always already there. And they know the routine. They know how it goes. And they were kind of surprised. And it was all very disorganized. And they even mocked themselves. Like, yeah, we're Republicans. We don't do anything well. And it's all confusing. And I thought, man, it would not take long or much effort for someone with a little bit of skill to make this much more enjoyable evening and productive. So anyway, I just want to encourage you all, give it some thought. Now, Warren, I see Warren on here. Good morning, Warren. You know, I don't know what the opportunities are like in Canada, but at some level, I bet you could get more involved. Spencer Jones says, eschatological pessimism sure is debilitating. It can be. It certainly can be. We have to watch out for that. Caitlin says, we've had sign holdings, road articles for Liberty candidates as well as believers, too few of them, meaning just there aren't enough Christians to come help. Is that what you're getting at? William David Buck says, too many men are still boys. Yeah, well, so you can't change everybody, but go grab somebody. grab a younger man and lead him, take him to the caucus with you, something like that. Yeah, Caitlin, I hear you, and I know you're cynical about all this, and maybe you're right, but maybe not. Maybe our getting involved in these ways is a means by which the Lord Jesus will overturn the wicked rulers and replace them with righteous rulers. That's what I'm praying for, and I'm not going to just talk about it. I'm taking action, and I admonish all of you to give that some thought as well. All right, we're going to leave it there for the day. What you do with that is up to you. I am going to call it a day and a week and get some rest, and hopefully next Monday my head will be cleared up and we can get back to our look at New Covenant Theology. Have a great weekend, everyone. Grace and peace to all of you.